You're listening to Rambling Business, the only multimedia podcast with Rick and Brandon,
where we get into your business no matter where it is.
And today we'll be talking about the best wine grown on a volcano, specifically the Maui Winery. We leave the Maui plantation where we stayed as a bed and breakfast, a lovely, beautiful place, and drive up the side of the Haleakala volcano, overlooking the southeast side of Maui. And today we're going to tell you the story of how Maui wine is grown at the Ulu Palakua.
Palakua.
No, that was French. That was a little French of me.
Here we go again.
Ulu Palakua. There we go.
You just gotta run into it. I gotta go wingo whip, a wingo whip.
That's entirely different.
That's African.
Yeah, I think so. Or fake African, who knows? I'm not sure how well researched Elton John was.
Way before Elton John.
But then he covered it for Lion King.
That's right.
Okay. More specifically, we're going to talk about how the winery used the resources on Maui and were able to turn the business into a popular world-class winery with an interesting twist. In addition to these business tips, we'll send you a travel tip, of course, and some more crazy tax laws. So this Hawaiian story starts way back in 1856.
When it was 100 years before I was born.
Wow. I would have guessed it was 100 years after you were born. Bam. Captain James McKee purchased the Torbertsville Plantation. And this guy was described as walking with a limp on the left side of his, and his head was badly scarred, which brings us to the story of why he gave up whaling for ranching. He's basically Captain Ahab.
Did he have all of his limbs?
I don't know. He's missing the use of one of them, partially. In 1843, he was struck in the head, not once, but twice, by the ship steward with a hatchet because he denied the steward shore leave. So, talk about hatchet jobs.
Boy, I tell you, I'm glad you didn't read this story when you guys were teenagers and I grounded you.
This would have been terrifying for you. The steward escaped into oblivion. No one knew where he went. But the captain, miraculously recovered, decided to return to Honolulu, where his wife and eight children took a 122-day trip from Boston to join him. Talk about a nice change of pace and weather.
Yeah, so they're sailing, right, around the Horn.
Yeah, Cape Horn.
Yeah,
Cape Horn.
Because that's where he came from.
South Australia.
But yeah, there it is. Yeah. That's where he came from, Nantucket or
the whaling capital of the United States.
So he had to do it. That's why he was in Hawaii at the time. He got hit in the head by a steward.
I think Canadian folk singer like Stan Rogers has a song about going on leave in Hawaii from a whaling boat. If you're into the 70s folk scene, you try it. Try it out. But basically, when his kids and wife joined him, he recommissioned a sugar mill, gaining a reputation for donating 200 barrels of molasses for the benefit of relief work during the Civil War. So we started it off with charity.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty interesting that we actually tie this into something that's such a major event in our country. And he's way out,
in
thousands of miles away.
Exactly, donating molasses, which I don't know what they used it for. Maybe rum.
You know what? You're probably right. I mean, you use molasses for sugar and cooking like I do, but I imagine they don't cook that much.
not that much.
200 barrels.
Sweet bread. Well, back then, I mean, alcohol was both an antiseptic and the only thing to put you under for when you're undergoing all the horrible amputations that happened during the Civil War.
Bite the bullet, too, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the ranch became a very popular destination, and this captain threw great parties that lured guests such as Mark Twain. It churned out 800 tons of sugarcane. From 1878 to 1883, a drought dried out all the fields, and it ended sugarcane production up there, and the captain died in 1879. Ula Palakua became a cattle ranch, which was passed through various hands until 1974, where airmen and
Tedeschi. That's not Hawaiian.
No.
It's Italian.
That's why I was confused. So how am I going to pronounce this in Hawaii? There was a partnership that brought Napa Valley winemaking techniques to the island. And the thing about making wine is once you start growing the grapes, it takes like 10 years for the grapes to be ready.
Right. So just sit out there and watch them.
Exactly.
10 years.
So in 1977, they experimented with the most common ingredient there while they were waiting around, thinking of what to do while they waited for these grapes to grow, and that was pineapple.
Yeah, but you know, after experimenting with the various grapes, you know what they did?
What?
They turned to your alma mater.
Oh, yeah, Davis.
UC Davis, where they planted chameleon grapes, and that was developed by the university.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In 77, so that's so cool. This is, you have a connection here.
I do.
You weren't a grape grower at Davis.
I drank a lot of grapes after they waited around for a while. The sparkling pineapple wine was created, and it's unique to this place. And it's the winery.
We bought it.
Oh, it was delicious. The winery didn't necessarily partner with UC Davis, but they were able to use a product developed there and started their winery with it. And we'll give you some tips on how to partner your small business with universities, citing an article, How Small Businesses Can Collaborate with Universities by David Doherty and The Guardian. You're listening to Rambling Business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Rick E. Norris and Accountancy Corporation. If you'd like to get the full experience, check out our website for videos, music, pictures, takeaways, and travel tips. www.ramblingbusiness.com. Now it's time in our show for our tax tales. Strange and unusual taxes from the past and the present.
Tax tales. Tax tales. A woo. So Kit Kat, which actually is one of my favorite candies, they seem to have lobbyists in Illinois to avoid paying taxes on their bars. Now, of course, we're not talking about drinking bars, even if we're talking about wineries.
But I'd go to a Kit Kat bar.
Yeah, I'm sure there is one around.
Kit Kat. You could use it to stir a White Russian.
There it is. Yes. Excellent. That's our recipe suggestion for today. Anyway, the state of Illinois has a 5% tax on candy on top of the 1% tax on food.
So it's 6% overall.
Ooh, you're quick.
I'm good.
Yes. But Illinois considers candy with flour as an ingredient to just be an ordinary food. Therefore, if you're buying a Kit Kat bar, it has flour in it.
Because of the cookies.
And so you're not paying the candy tax. And, you know, so it's like, you know, what about M&Ms, you know?
That's my favorite candy.
Yeah, I think we're stuck there, right? Yeah. They're stuck paying the tax there.
Unless so you just dust them with flour. You just walk in with a sieve. Right. This is all food now. That's fine. Now it's time for our travel tip. We'll tell you how to acclimate yourself to the local zone.
If your meals are not prepared by the hotel that you're staying at,
a lot of travel packages have
travel packages. What we did, because we stayed at the Plantation Inn, which is a bed and breakfast. We talked about this last week, but because we had the entire building to ourselves, breakfast didn't come with it. That's one of the things they have. If you have separate rooms, then they cook for you. But in our case, we took over the whole thing, and believe it or not, we went to Costco, which is right by the airport in Maui. And so make sure you stop there. But what makes it so interesting is that not only can you buy the stuff that you may buy in Costco and other places in the States. Right, the mainland. But they also have some unique items that they sell just in Hawaii. So we were able to find some local things there. And we also went to some markets. And one of the things we did in markets is that we found not maple syrup.
Couldn't find any.
Yeah, couldn't find
none
any.
Not on the island.
No maple trees.
Yeah.
That's right. We found guava syrup to put on our French toast.
There's coconut syrup, too. All sorts of.
Yeah. So if you're looking to travel, make sure you eat. At least try to eat.
Yeah.
What they eat to get the full experience of traveling. You know, you may not like poi, but give it a shot.
Yeah.
We didn't have poi, did we?
No, we did. We didn't go to a luau this time.
That's right. Yeah. We didn't order one in a restaurant either. So
I don't think we went to a restaurant that served poi.
Maybe you're right. I don't know. So make sure you, if you get your staple stuff, go ahead and go to Costco. But look around for the unique things of where you're going. And in this case, Maui Hawaiian food.
Yeah, we went to a Mexican place, and they even had pineapple salsa. So oh, yeah. it was interesting. Now it's time for our takeaways, where we tell you how to implement what we've been talking about on the podcast. And the first thing to do is use universities to help you find the best graduates. You can benefit from this by offering internships and connecting with the career centers, because universities like to have job placement when they have people graduate.
Right.
They don't want people graduating without a job.
That's right.
It doesn't look good. So if you work with the university, you can find the most skilled people for what you need and tap that directly.
Now, there's a real connection here between this Maui winery and a winery that we did way back when we were doing the Santa Barbara series. And that was where the Sideways movie was filmed. If you mm-hmm. want to listen to it, go back there. But the gentleman that is owns it with his wife, he used to work in the San Ynez Valley in Santa Barbara. And he came over to Maui to windsurf because he was an avid windsurfer from Australia. And when he was there, his boss called him up and said, hey, this guy, Tadichi, if I pronounced that right this time, Tadichi, up there at Tadichi Winery, this is what it was called back then, or Tadichi Vineyards, is trying to get this bitterness out of his grapes, and he can't do it. And so he asked this guy to go up there, which he did. The guy from Santa Barbara went up there, and he decided not to do it because he went there to windsurf. But there was a situation where he had sour grapes, shall we say.
Yeah.
I wonder if the result is that he solved this problem with UC Davis. So you see the connection there, is that you had the problem. We had somebody who was on our podcast before, we talked about before, who was possibly to be the solution. Or he could have maybe gone to a university, maybe hired somebody from UC Davis, right?
Yeah.
To do that, to do the same kind of thing. And then we have a result of partnering with UC Davis to give him the right grapes to grow in Maui. So we have a real connection here, almost like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, because grapes are very finicky. They have to be, there's specific amounts of moisture and soil comparison. So finding what type of grape is going to grow. I mean, Hawaii is known for its very irony soil.
Yeah.
That's why you get that red earth.
I remember. Somebody I knew was growing Zinfandel grapes in Paso Robles that the first year they did not water enough. And they had too little water in them, and it was a disaster. They were raisins. The next year, they watered them too much, and they were too heavy. And so, you know, even trying to get the right amount of water is a big challenge. So experts, especially those from universities, can really help you.
The second thing you can do is not only get experience from universities, you can get equipment. A lot of them will lend equipment out or help you set it up. This might be a big benefit where you lease the equipment without paying the price tag to purchase it, which can be a huge startup cost for a small business.
Yes. The next thing is bring academics to consult on specific projects. You know, there are professors, in this case would be, I guess, botanists of some sort. I guess there's...
Of viticulture.
Viticulture, okay. That people would come in, and I wonder when they got the UC Davis grape, if they actually had academics looking at their soil,
they would have to, or they would have to have some sort of expert do soil tests to make sure that you know, the drainage and whatnot.
So academics can really help your business out a lot, and check with your local universities with those departments. Usually, go to the department chair or the dean's office
Find
out. The dean.
The next thing you can do is work with universities for the latest research on your project. I mean, especially UC Davis is known for being an agriculture school. It's the one for California. All of the good winemakers from California come out of there. And all of these people or young people are doing all sorts of innovations all the time on how to raise grapes and how to crossbreed them and all sorts of things. So you don't want to be stuck. I mean, France may disagree with this, but you don't want to be stuck with the old way of doing things, because sometimes the old way is great. Sometimes it can be done better with new technology and methods.
I remember when your mom and I were trying to build, which we never did, above Malibu. It was on Saddle Peak Road. It's right above Malibu and Topanga Canyon. And you drive up there and you say, oh, cool, look at that. So there must have been about 200, look like redwoods, up on top of this mountain, you know? And it's like, and they were all like lined up. And it's going like, oh, cool. And then I asked the realtor. He said, oh, yeah, that's some university is testing. And so they planted those years ago.
Yeah, and they're looking how they develop. And interesting.
All right, so the last takeaway for your business is that we'd like you to look into the universities around there, around where you're at, and look at the programs that they have, because there are some programs in universities that work with small businesses. For example, UC Irvine has a unique program called Applied Innovation, which is staged at a place called The Cove. It's called The Cove, so it looks tropical when you go in there, just like our Hawaiian theme that we're talking about here. Really, they got like little palm trees in the walls and things like that. You have to keep your shoes on, though, I think. But they bring in entrepreneurs, venture capitalists, and academics together. You can find it at innovation.uci.edu. And what we're looking to do is that in the near future, I've already talked to them, is that we're looking to do a whole series just on new entrepreneurs at the Cove.
Oh, great.
So it's not going to be kind of like a destination type thing necessarily. It will be something of one destination. Well,
the Cove.
The Cove. Yeah, it's at the Cove. That's the destination. And so, it's a whole 40-minute driving from here.
Well, Orange County is a destination for a lot of people.
That's
we can give them a lot of tips about how to. I mean, I lived in Orange County.
Right. The Orange Curtain, right? So we're going to be doing a little podcast series on that and bring in different people on the new projects they're working on, combining universities, venture capitalists, academia, and small business.
Now it's time to answer an email from one of our viewers, a very LA question today. This is from Chad. I'm an actor, and I get W-2s from shows I've appeared on, a lot of different ones. Residuals come in every year. Can I deduct the expenses that are necessary to push my career? They're really adding up.
Well, Chad, that's great. I know you have to spend a lot of money, but make a budget if you don't have a job. But he said he has lots of W-2s.
That's great. So
I guess he has jobs. So that's great. So he probably has a lot of travel and entertainment. Agents' fees. Agents' commissions is very important. Maybe even personal manager fees. So basically, first of all, check with your tax professional. Anytime we give tax advice here, we're not giving it to any specific person. It's just generally here. So everybody check with your tax professional. But usually you can deduct these expenses as miscellaneous deductions as an itemized deduction schedule. But what that means, though, is that there are some limitations. You'll lose some of those deductions. But you can deduct it there. What you can do is what a lot of entertainers do is if the production companies allow you to have what they call a loan-out corporation, is that you could create a corporation. And so now the corporation is loaning out the services of the actor, and so no longer is he an employee because he has his own craft, and it's been hardened by tax law. It's okay. And so so you got to check out the expenses of incorporating and keeping him going, but that way you could be able to get a little more bang for your buck on your expenses.
Now we'd like to thank a couple people who have been commenting or liking our posts.
On iTunes?
Yeah, on iTunes specifically.
What'd you find on iPod?
You find on iPod. iTunes on iPod, caveman.
So, you know, we're not going to read the actual comments because, you know, they're all very nice. Thank you very much. But what we do like is the names that people use, you know. The first one is Love to Fly Ha.
Oh, they don't. Is that a joke? They don't love to fly?
I don't know.
They love to fly. Ha. Like, you know.
Or, since we're doing the series on Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
Love to Fly Hawaii. That's the it's H-I. No,
yeah, it's H-I.
H-I. Oh, what's ha?
Nothing.
Nothing. There's no states.
Harahan, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I'm wrong. Okay, so it's ha. The other one is their handle name is 68 Cardinal. That's interesting because you don't follow baseball.
Is this a Catholic thing? Is this the Pope?
Here, kiss my ring. The 68 Cardinals were champions.
Oh.
Right. So
the whole
they had,
team, they have the, one iTunes account.
That's right. And I don't know if there were 68 people on there, but there were 1968. We had Lou Brock stealing bases and Bob Gibson. I think it was a pitcher. So it could be that. Or it could be somebody I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I played on the Cardinals in 1968 in Little League.
No, that isn't it.
What do you mean? We won the championship. Your grandpa went ahead and coached it. We won the tournament of champions. That means we beat other Little League teams.
So you have a stalker who knows all of your baseball stats.
Well, it might be somebody that was on the team.
Okay. I'm guessing it's the actual Cardinals, not your Little League team. But anyway, thanks for commenting and giving us stars. We really appreciate it. That's all we have for this week. Tune in next week when we're going to fly across the country and start our new series about Boston's last Martha's Vineyard. We can't really get away from grapes, apparently. Grapes.
I didn't see any grapes when I was there. Not one.
Not even in a bottle?
Well, maybe.
We have a few unique businesses along with travel advice and a wacky tax tale as usual. But thank you for listening. I'm Brandon.
And this is Rick. Thank you very much. We love getting into your business no matter where it is.
Our music and podcast was produced by my brother, Devin S. Norris. For all your music composition and podcast needs, check out www.devinsnorris.com.